Hey guys, for May 11th, 2011, never forget that it's Video Games Hot Dog. So I'm Zach.
And I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And we're ready to bring you guys some hot dog video games. How you guys been? Speaking of which.
Pretty good.
All right.
Have you been getting enough to eat?
Yeah. I have been trying to cut back on my caloric intake a little bit.
I ask because my plan is to fatten you guys up to sell you to the gypsies.
All you eat is radishes.
Well, that's all I eat for lunch. But for dinners, I
slop
often
trough full of gravy.
Multiple persons worth of meals. I need to stop going out to eat with other people because I will just eat all of their food is the problem.
It's really annoying. Yeah. You'll do it before we've even gotten back from the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I want to punch you. I want to punch you every time we go anywhere.
Right,
or do anything.
Right in the food hole?
Yeah. No.
I do remember that one time that we were at Prankster's and you got a cheeseburger, just this big ass cheeseburger, and I looked away and looked back and you'd eaten the entire thing in that space of time.
Yeah.
He likes to play a game, which is how fast can I eat this cheeseburger?
It's not really a game.
How fast can I consume this double-double with whammy sauce?
Yeah.
It's his cheeseburger of choice. What have we done anything interesting at all? Any
we,
of us since the
I nearly killed you on a mountain.
That's true. You nearly killed yourself too. We the people who listen to all of our shows must get sick of the same stories over and over again. Every time I do a show, it's with a different group of people, and then every time it's always me.
You're telling tales out of school.
I guess that's your problem.
You
hear a bunch of different perspectives.
Yeah,
the hike was wonderful, right, Kevin?
I had a great time.
Yeah.
So is it like Rashomon?
I don't know what that is.
I've never seen Rashomon.
Oh, it's I can't think of another movie that.
Wait, is that like Pokemon? But you're collecting a bunch of skin disorders.
It was a movie in which
was there a long trek?
There are several characters who each tell the story of what happened in leading up to the event, and each one tells the story differently. So you learn different things.
I like how that one blind guy thinks that the elephant is shaped like an elephant's dick.
Yeah, so it's like that, but translated into an Akira Kurosawa movie.
Okay. So there are seven of them. Yeah. The seven elephant dicks.
They're magnificent.
Save the village. Man, I don't need to know your opinions about elephant dicks. we almost died in the scorching sun.
It was only an 8 mile hike, but it was pretty brutally hot.
Did you go to 8 Mile Island?
We did not.
Did you go to Detroit?
We only had one shot. Do not miss your chance to not die of heat stroke. And luckily,
yeah,
I didn't.
For some reason, like, it had been like a lovely, you know, like the weeks had been like 80s, 90s, whatever. And then the day we decided to go, it was like 101.
Yeah, that sucked.
It was pretty hot.
I still have blisters. I wish this was a video show so that I could show the listeners my blisters.
You could take a picture and post it on the forums.
I bet they disagree.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to start referring to them as the blisteners.
You could replace the art for the show with a picture of your blisters.
Oh, I could. Just every time. Then I'd have to get new blisters for every episode.
Well, right. But that would be part of your homework.
Well, it depends on if that's where you get the blisters.
Have you guys been playing any video games in addition to your hiking and dying and the nothing that Riff talked about?
Yes.
Come on. No love for my Rashomon joke? Where they're like Pokemons, except you have to collect all of the rashes on your skin.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
Okay.
And they evolve into like gangrene, and some of them evolve into melanoma.
Or leprosy.
Come on. Guys, that was a good joke.
A leprechaun?
And you just blew right past it.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm trying to do a podcast. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I am cognizant of the fact that we've got listeners to entertain.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for following that up with some fucking silence, you jerks.
You're publishing this? You're recording this?
Oh, you thought this was just one of those Fisher-Price, my first recording studios.
Yeah.
We're just having fun. We're just goofing. No, this goes out. People hear this, guys. You need to step up your fucking game.
Shit.
Kevin.
Yo, I've been playing a couple things. I finished
a whole list of.
Well, I'm taking notes.
Cool.
I finished the Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery today.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I played for probably an hour in the dark and was kind of terrified at times. Like, it is just, it's really good. You have to listen to it with headphones,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, have to have headphones.
And
what were you scared of? Were you afraid that Robert Ashley was going to come out and get you high?
I found out that in order to make him say stuff, you need to stand next to him for a long time.
Oh.
And he will, like, he'll, like, start sort of, like, cycling through different sentences and stuff that he's recorded. And they're, like, they're kind of hard to hear because kind of just mumbles off into the background. But, yeah. But the mood is really, really good. And, like, the way the game kind of sort of tells you how to play it, but not really... And only after you've kind of not figured it out the first time. It's nice. It's like, I'm going to, okay, so, you know, try to figure this thing out. If you can't, we'll sort of give you a hint how to figure it out. Yeah. I don't know. I came to appreciate by the end very much how the whole thing had been structured, but at the beginning was like sort of not sure about it.
I grew really fond of the main character and was bummed by the ending.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, spoilers.
It's pretty.
I'm not going to say in detail what happens.
Yeah,
that it's something that you don't want to have happen to someone you're fond of.
I very much like and don't understand why this isn't sort of commonplace. Games reward you by giving you more stats, but then to make the game harder, they have to make it that much extra harder.
Yep.
Instead, they could keep the game the same difficulty the whole way through and just take away stats.
Yeah.
And like, why that isn't a common trope.
When it was just me that played it, I brought that up on an earlier show. And
I think that's really interesting. Great in an art game, right? But it's not.
You definitely lose the sense of progression, but it, like, mechanically, it makes so much sense.
I mean, I think that there is this sort of common thing in games where it's like, you go and you get more powerful and you get more powerful and you get more powerful. And then there's always the moment where you're stripped of your powers and have to do something, you know, like there's always the, oh, okay, here's a fight where none of your tricks work. You know, there's like the shadow fight in Zelda or whatever, like, and all of the things that you've been,
or developing. You get captured and lose all your weapons.
Yeah, they take away all your gear.
Right.
And then you have to fight for a while and then get all your gear back. And then you're like, I kind of liked it when I was on this spaceship with no gear.
You know,
Did you get that far in Marathon 2?
No.
Oh, I know you didn't. You played like 3 levels.
Yeah.
Did you get that far in?
I have had them take away all my stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Hmm. So I finished that, and I finished that and found that pretty rewarding. I don't know if I've talked about this. I 2 months ago I started playing a very old, it's not really a game I guess, but an old sort of puzzle collection called Planetarium.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And it is interesting in that it doles out content to you a little bit every week, and so I just did the 8th week of it.
So you week. Like sign up and then it sends you sign up. Anything?
It doesn't send you anything unless you don't log in for a while. But if you every week it unlocks some new content, you can go there and you can solve it. It's like 3 puzzles a week that are all contributing towards a major puzzle.
And if you don't solve them, it installs a botnet virus on your computer.
Exactly. Cool. It's like super old school. I think it's like from 2004 or something.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That isn't super old school.
It's pretty old school in terms of like
in terms of internet,
website.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and that's been kind of interesting. I thought of that in relation to Sword and Sorcery because there's a point in Sword and Sorcery where I thought the game was telling me to wait for 5 days before playing the next time, and that isn't what it was trying to do. But for a little bit. It seemed like it.
I'm pretty sure that it can happen to you that becomes necessary. I think what allows you to not have to do that is something that you can fuck yourself out of.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't have any confirmation of that, and I don't want to say what it is because I don't want to spoil it. But
there was also one binary choice in Sword and Sorcery, which I didn't. I kind of want to know what happens if you do the other thing.
If you're thinking of what I'm thinking of, I think that's the thing that
okay, interesting.
I think you can't get that unless you make that particular choice.
And now ambiguity theater.
Yeah.
Griffin Kevin.
No, I mean
this other guy.
It's tough to not spoil stuff because like, but that's okay. That's interesting. Yeah, and then I upgraded my operating system like a month ago so I could play Trine and Portal 2, and with that upgrade, they installed, against my will, the Apple App Store for macOS, and I looked on that for a little bit, and I played with, like, the top free game, which was kind of terrible.
What was it?
I don't even remember the name of it. It was like Shotgun Zombie Killer Dude.
Mm-hmm.
And the gameplay in itself was not awful, but like it was just something that was sort of interesting for 5 minutes, and then I would probably never pick up again.
People need to move past zombies now.
You think?
Yeah.
I think there's more stuff that, you know, I mean, I don't think people need to move past anything, right? I mean, I think people need to stop making games that the only thing about them is that there's zombies.
Okay.
You know?
If you can think of something that hasn't been done with zombies already, then that's fine, but...
Necrophilia?
I think that's been done with zombies. Has it? What have you been playing, Riff?
Well, I got a short list here. I've been playing... I played a fair bit of Okami Den on the DS, which was pretty good.
Okami is one of those games where I bought it on the PS2, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, God, I need to play this on the Wii instead.
Yeah,
and then I bought it.
I can't imagine how terrible that must have been on the PS2.
And then I bought it for the Wii, and I'm like, oh, right, this is on the Wii. I'm not going to play this.
The brush mechanic is pretty nice on the DS. That feels like...
Because you have the stylus.
Yeah, because you have the stylus. I feel like it's a little bit too hand-holdy in the puzzles. Like, the character you're walking around with will say, oh, hey, look, a withered old tree. Maybe you should use your bloom powers. It's like, yeah, okay, thanks, kid. I could have guessed that. But, I don't know, I'm still reasonably early in the game. Maybe it toughens up after a while. But it's, on the whole, it's a pretty good sort of 3D Zelda-style game.
Maybe they're leading you astray from the optimal solution. Maybe there's multiple solutions to every puzzle, and they're just giving you, like, the low-hanging fruit.
I don't know. That would be interesting, but
you actually have to use your firepower to burn down that old wither tree.
I've also been playing the hell out of the new 3DS Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, I thought you only just told me yesterday that you found out that existed.
It came out, like, yesterday, and I had release date delivery on the pre-order.
Oh.
So is it good? That's what arrived
from Amazon
yesterday.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's really pretty. Compared to... It's very clear to me that the Lego Star Wars 3DS was just a port of the DS one, whereas this one is definitely taking... I don't know, full advantage, but taking more advantage of the hardware.
Did Johnny Depp
voice
really
it? Really nice. No. I mean, some guy going, rrr, rrr.
Did they?
It kind of sounds like Johnny Depp would sound like if they had gotten him in the studio to do some grunts.
Maybe,
but...
maybe they did.
Maybe that is him with a mouthful of Legos.
Maybe they, well, okay. I was going to ask a serious question. Did Traveler's Tales make that, or is it...
I think it's still the same
one. Farm it out to somebody else.
As far as I know, it's still the same guys.
We watched we saw a speech. Were you there?
Yeah,
for that?
I was.
Yeah, I was.
When we were in England, there was like this Game On exhibit that travels from museum to museum, and it was at the British Museum, right?
The British Museum.
Well, no,
I don't think it was at the.
No,
it was
the
British Museum.
It was at one of those museums next door to the British gallery.
Yeah, it was the Steampunk Museum of Video Games and Cory Doctorow. Yeah. Cory Doctorow lives in England, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He's not English, though. But they could have a museum.
We swapped him for Neil Gaiman.
Oh, okay. And then that politician got mad.
Yeah.
Said that they shouldn't have paid him to speak at a library. We saw a guy from Traveler's Tales sort of talking about making those games. He gave us a sneak preview of Lego Batman... if we promised not to tell anybody that there was going to be any such thing as Lego Batman. And we didn't care then, and we still don't.
What, did it ever come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
But he talked about how that whole thing started out as this soccer game. Like, they just wanted to make this soccer game, and then they were like, oh, let's make a Lego kid kicking soccer balls around, and then...
It's part of, the in-house demo-y type stuff, right? It wasn't even, like, something to be...
Yeah.
To be put out.
But then it's like, oh, and let's get a Lego license, and then let's make some Star Wars stuff. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they've got both the Lego and the Star Wars licenses. That seems nuts.
I don't know, man.
How would, like, that's like being like a slave to two houses.
I think it might be a thing, like, you know, when we like try and book a concert here, I think a lot of that might be like who you know. Because how the fuck does Telltale keep getting the licenses that they're getting? right? Like, oh, we just secured the video game licenses to Back to the Future and Jurassic Park. Like, not that they were, oh, and Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Like, how did you get a guy that just got all that? They had to just know somebody. It had to be like, oh, right, yeah, one of the guys that we just hired, his uncle owns everything.
Maybe they got that one through, because they did that Bone game, too, so maybe Jeff Smith knows the author of Walking Dead, and it went through that way.
Maybe one of the Redenbachers works for Telltale Games, and since Orville Redenbacher's estate owns almost every movie license from the 80s, they were able to get, like, all of them.
What?
All at the same time.
Are you making this up, or is this a real thing?
Yeah, no, I'm making that up. Does that not seem like the kind of thing that you would know about if I hadn't just made it up? Are you guys that out of touch that Orville Redenbacher's estate could own every movie from the 80s?
Oh, I was thinking there was some sort of weird movie popcorn conspiracy, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. But no, it's just some story.
It's not just some story.
Another thing just I played that was pretty good is the Tiny Bang Story, which is Colibri Games, Colibri Games.com. It's sort
is
of
it like
a
universe.
It is like if you imagine the guys that did Samurost and Machinarium did a Find the Hidden Object game.
Why are you playing all these lady games?
I don't know, man. It's really nice though. It's a really good game. I recommend check. There's like Mac and Windows demos.
Do you play it while you're taking a bubble
Mac
bath?
Mac versions on the site and Windows versions are in Steam.
Do you get a nice cup of chamomile tea and a scented pillow?
Scented pillow?
Yeah, that's a thing. A thing?
Well, a little sachet of spices or something, maybe.
A sachet?
Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
I think so.
It's like a satchel, not like a sachet. That's like what RuPaul does.
Is it a sachet? I don't know.
You get a cachet. If you're said to have cachet, that means you smell like potpourri, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, or money.
Or you've hidden your potpourri somewhere for later.
You've secreted it in some caves.
Ew.
And
I played a thing called Imaginary Range on the iPad, which is...
Is that like Cooking Mama, where you're pretending to cook things on a range?
Square Enix did a comic book, and you read the comic book, and every couple of pages there's a mini game.
Huh.
And it's okay. The comic book is absolutely incomprehensible in typical anime style. But
are you reading it from left to right or from right to left?
It is normal American direction.
Well, but maybe that's why it's incomprehensible.
You know, if you wanted a similar thing, but instead of being about whatever that game is about all-terrain vehicle safety, you should go to Kongregate and play the game Treadsylvania.
Wow.
It was like one of the highest rated games for a week or a month on Kongregate, and as I was playing it, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this website? It was like this weird game. It was like a promotional game made by some ATV safety organization, and it was like you had to go around, and there was this town that was being attacked by monsters, and all the roads were closed, so you had to use ATVs, but you weren't supposed to ride on, you know, off of trails and stuff. And then it's like, oh no, this blob is attacking us, and he stole all of my safety gear. So there'd be a mini game where you had to, like, pull some goggles out of a blob and put them on the guy where they go. They were just, like, the dumbest mini games. Like, oh, move all these rocks off of the trail so that we can continue to safely ride our ATVs along it. Oh, also there's some vampires, but like, just move these rocks. Like, vampires will be fine. That shit'll take care of itself. The important thing is ATV safety.
Nice.
But it was like just a bunch of weird motion comics punctuated by these super boring mini games.
Did you have to do any sort of safety dances?
That's pretty much exactly what this is. And the mini games were okay.
They weren't just like moving rocks off of roads.
Were the ATV slightly safety more complicated themes? Than that. The ATVs?
They were ATM safety. I was like, be sure and cover the pin pad with your hand.
Yeah. Be sure to try and tug on the card insert slot and see if it comes off. Yep.
Oh, yeah? You're supposed to do that? I always wonder about those scrapers.
Yep. I'm pretty paranoid about those, actually. I only get cash at, like, grocery store things now. I like buy groceries and then get some cash back.
What if they have put a fake grocery store over the entire grocery store?
Well, in that case, I mean, they can have the money. They
you really want to reward that sort of
They've gone to that much trouble.
Kid, okay. You've got moxie.
Yeah.
You can have everything that's in my account.
I haven't gotten cash out from an ATM in so long.
Yeah.
Speaking of games on Kongregate, I played this game that I thought was going to be really stupid, but I got into it and kept playing it until I had beaten it, called Attack of the Heavenly Bats.
Okay.
Which, it's just this weird, like, retro platformer where you keep, like, collecting coins and killing stuff to get coins, and it's like the character starts out by saying, I'm the best hero because I can shoot all my weapons at once. And then, oh no, all my weapons got stripped away, and so you have to buy back all of your weapons, but then hitting the fire button just shoots all of them all the time. Hmm. You keep upgrading weapons, and then you get a double jump, and then you get what appears to be like a hacked or errored out guy who gives you the ability to jump in limit number of times, so you can just sort of fly. But it you know, it took maybe 10 minutes to play all the way through, and it was just super satisfying.
Huh.
Did you see the screenshot of the new, they're working on like a 2D version of Serious Sam, and one of the features for it is weapon stacking, where you can get like these mechanical arms that let you stack your guns on top of other guns, and they had a picture of the guy holding a stack of guns taller than he was and shooting them all at once. It was pretty cool.
Huh.
I downloaded this game off of Steam the other day. I mean, I played a little bit of Rift and whatever, and I've been working a lot. It's not a whole lot.
Playing a game that you're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah, too. But I bought this game from Steam, and it was like $8, and it looked pretty cool. And given the punctuation and the spelling, I can only assume that it is supposed to be pronounced Dwarfs.
Oh, yeah, I saw that and wanted to play it, but there wasn't a Mac version of the demo.
It's pretty fun. It's kind of like... like somebody was like, oh, let's just do like a weird, quick arcade version of Dwarf Fortress,
yeah,
as I imagine it.
Oh wow!
You start out with like a base, and there's one digger dwarf, and they dig independently. Like they are independent agents, right? So they'll run around. You can spend money to draw arrows that will direct them where to go, and they have to obey the arrows. But the more of them that walk on the arrow, the more the arrow gets worn out, so that eventually you lose your ability to path. They will dig into stuff, including like caves filled with water that will then just refill your entire level up, and if it gets to the base, you're dead. So you have to like build walls around it, but then they will randomly tunnel through the walls if you're not paying attention to them. You can dig holes.
Do you build the walls, or do you direct the dwarf to
build the walls? But the walls are not permanent. The walls are just a stopgap measure. You can harden the earth around caves so they can't dig through it. If there's a space that's already dug out, the only thing that you can do is blow a hole in it, and you have to put dynamite there and then direct a dwarf to the dynamite to suicide on it and make a hole. So then water or lava will flow into that hole, and that counts as being closed off. And you get points for sealing off sections of lava and water, which get bigger the more out of control they are, or the more the size of the cave that they unlocked in the first place. It's interesting. It was like really just sort of frantic and like a quick... Here, this I thought was fascinating. It said in one of the levels that I was playing, hey, remember in the tutorial when we showed you that you could do this? And I don't think I remembered that from the tutorial. Possible I didn't read it, because I frequently don't read things. But you can speed up time to make all of your guys run faster, but it doesn't speed up the timer. So the object of the game is like score as many points as you can in 5 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever. So speeding up time just makes it so all of this uncontrollable shit is going on, but way more points.
Wow.
But then way more chance that like some dwarf is going to tunnel into a lava cave, or, you know, and then there's also like caves with bad guys in them, so then you have to kind of direct your warrior dwarfs out, and you can like build outposts to level up new warrior dwarfs and fire them out at this. I don't exactly understand. You can fire them out of a cannon and they just sort of go, they arc over the map even though you're underground.
Wow. So yeah, through rock.
Yeah, which is funny. It's funny. I'm sure they thought of that and just decided that would be okay.
Huh.
But anyway, I recommend it. It was on sale for like $8, and I only played it for maybe 2 hours, but I feel like I totally got $8 worth of entertainment out of it.
Huh.
There's leaderboards on which people score.
Is there an unlimited mode?
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
But I think it would get out of hand real quick. I cannot imagine an unlimited mode lasting a lot longer than an hour. But
you could, if you were really good at it, I'm curious whether you could start to try to establish like something and
some equilibrium. I mean, like once you start getting, they every time a dwarf digs a tunnel, you get a gold, right? So once you've got 100 dwarves out digging, you're earning gold pretty quick, and maybe you can deal with new threats, but you're also getting more threats.
But can't you seal off like a central area that never
it's
gets?
It's really expensive to seal off stuff. Like it is cumbersome to actually prevent the dwarves from getting into a thing. I mean, I guess you could probably be more proactive about it. Like if you were thinking of exploring a new cave system on purpose, you could seal off all but one entrance and one exit, you know,
right,
just to be ready for it. You could try and get two dwarves in there so that if the first one died in lava, you could immediately throw down some dynamite and trigger it with the second one. Like, it's just, I don't know. It was this interesting, like, frantic resource management thing.
Sure.
That I enjoyed a lot. Plus, it ends with an exclamation point and a question mark. Like all good
in Tarobang.
So, hey guys, how about this week's assignment? Spoiler alert, fucking terrible.
I liked it, although it may be nostalgia talking.
I had never played it before, and I enjoyed it to some extent. There were definitely some problems with it, but that's only from a modern perspective, I feel like.
There's the list of advancements in first-person shooters that were introduced by the Marathon series is surprisingly large.
Do tell, Riff.
Dual-wielded weapons, weapons with secondary fire triggers, weapons with multiple ammo types, and having to reload your weapons. The big obvious one is map polygons can overlap, so you can get areas above and below other areas.
So, but it's not true 3D?
No.
Okay.
I think it uses that same weird trick that Duke Nukem 3D did, where it was occupying the same physical space, but you couldn't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somehow.
I noticed that sound was doing that. If I didn't have line of sight to something, I couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Also, ambient noises was new with Marathon. Rocket jumping. Real-time voice chat over multiplayer.
Oh, like built in?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Liquids, including currents and weapons that don't work underwater or work differently underwater.
Yeah,
I think that's when I actually gave up.
Yeah,
I was half in, half out of water, and I fired an energy pistol, which should have fucking fired over the surface of water and killed the guy I was in front of. But instead, it was just angled just slightly too low, and I died. And I was like, "Fuck this! It is so hard to control the height."
The first time I got to a water level and jumped into the water, my guy just bobbed in and out of the water.
You probably had swim on.
Couldn't get through the... Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You probably had auto swim on.
Okay. Then I maybe turned that off. I couldn't toggle it using any of the buttons that I had mapped to anything, but when I quit and reloaded, it was no longer doing that.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Weird.
I don't know. I don't think that... I think given that limitation of controls, I probably would not have been able to do... I mean, it's like, okay, cool, liquid, but like... I don't think it needs to feature quite as prominently as it does, even in the third level.
I mean, there's some like almost wholly underwater levels and stuff.
Yeah. Those levels also just did nothing for me. Everything looked the same. They did not seem like places at all.
Yeah, that
you know,
like I said on the forums, the first person shooter maps that actually seem like a real place is not really something that happened until a year later with Duke 3D.
Yeah, I think that was why Duke 3D was so impressive to me. Cause even
did Doom not seem like real places?
Doom felt more like real places than this did.
It had a lot more atmosphere, I feel like. But this was... There were definitely moments when I would be doing something and then like there'd be an enemy all of a sudden and I'd be kind of freaked out. I mean, there were definitely moments in this that kind of had me on the edge of my seat. But I got motion sickness playing the game for too long.
Hmm.
I don't know. I couldn't figure out how to turn off the bobbing,
hmm.
the like running bobbing thing, and like
I don't know for sure that that's even possible. But okay. It just seemed to me like I remembered that it was
like, and I don't know. Like, there's just something about the the fluidity of it, or the mouse look not being quite right. Like everything was just off just a little bit.
It was frustrating to adjust the mouse sensitivity. You had to keep going in and out of a fucking game. You couldn't go to the option screen while you were in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
Like some of the just things that seem so boneheaded now that were de rigueur in the production of things. You know, things that didn't have to be that bad. That's always like a weird thing. Like, why? Like, you just made this choice because nobody had figured out this thing that seems so intuitive and obvious. Yeah. Like, it makes you really
like there's
respect the people who broke that ground, right?
There's a sequence that I got really pissed off at, where you get captured and all your weapons are taken away, and there's a sequence where you're standing in a prison cell. And dudes warp in and shoot up the guards and then teleport you away and you go to the next level. So you start the next level with almost no health and no weapons, and it doesn't immediately give you a save terminal or a gun.
Wow.
So you have to go through the level like any other level and find a weapon and a save terminal, and if you don't do that relatively quickly, you die. And then go back to your last save, which was before you got captured, so you have to sit through the prison sequence again. I watched that for like 5 or 6 times before I managed to find a save terminal on that level.
Wow.
It's just, that would not happen today. People know to...
You'd have a quick save. I mean, I don't think even
if you didn't have a quick save, there would be a save point at a reasonable location.
They're pretty stingy with them, and it's, you know, one thing that I do appreciate about this compared to Doom, just graphics-wise. In Doom, there was a ton of stuff that looked like you ought to be able to interact with it, whereas this, everything just looks like a fucking gray plane, except the things that you can interact with.
There is another thing that Marathon started was having to aim vertically.
Oh. Okay.
Which I have definitely found annoying at times.
I can't even imagine playing that with the keyboard. Like, I did play Doom with the keyboard some because...
Yeah, mouse look not being on by default. I was like, what the hell? Well,
the thing is, not everybody had a mouse.
There was
on the Mac, everybody had a mouse. I guess with a Mac game, there's no excuse.
There is a short time where amongst my friends and I was the king of FPS Mountain because I had discovered mouse look when we were playing Marathon and everyone else was still using the Doom keys.
I mean, I remember the first time I ever saw a guy playing, I think it was like Quake 1 was the first time I ever saw mouse look in action. Or no, it was like, there was like on TV. I saw something on TV about a guy playing Doom.
Like, what is he doing? Super good. How's he doing that?
And he was looking around with the mouse, and I was like, whoa, that makes a lot of sense. but, you know, here's an excuse. On the PC, not everybody had a mouse at the time.
Sure.
Right? Like, you could still be using a 386 that didn't come with Windows, that didn't come with a mouse, and be playing Doom. Right? So their market for that, like, made it so thinking about games, you didn't necessarily... Like... Mouse look probably just wasn't a thing, really, yet. Like, it had not caught on to the point where it became obvious that it was the right thing to do.
It's hard for me to remember computers before using a mouse was, like, a significant fraction of my input to the computer. Like, and I know I did it for years. It's just, it's hard to, like, I can't even think about it.
I mean, I used DOS until 96.
I used DOS till 94 and then Unix for 4 years. So, but Unix, I had X Windows, so I was still using.
I used DOS with no GUI until, like, I mean, I just had, it wasn't until Windows 95 came out and, like, the web became, like, a real thing. Because, I mean, when I was at U of I in 94, like, taking this introductory computer science class, they were like, hey, check out this thing we just made. Mosaic. Mosaic 1.0 just came out of these grad students over here in this one lab. Isn't it cool? And we're just like, huh, well, it certainly is slow and like, you know, I can imagine like novelty appeal, but you're never going to be anywhere that you have a fast enough connection that this is better than just a terminal window, right? But like, turns out I was wrong.
But 640K wasn't enough for everybody.
Well, I mean... That's the thing is, like, modems yeah. did not get appreciably faster is the thing. Like the typical
from what are you talking from, about? From
like the there were 28.8s then, right? And the
you
best
were modem, Mr. Moneybags, maybe
the best modem that you get is
56.6
twice as fast
yeah.
as that. And 28.8 is not fast enough to really use the web over a home connection. It's just 56K is dubious. Like it I don't think that it was like a lack of foresight that led people to not like adopt that early. I think it just sucked.
Sure.
But yeah.
But I mean I guess I was going to argue with you in terms of them not getting faster since
like a 2400.
Yeah, and I was like moving up from a 24 to a 96 was huge. Moving up from a 96 to you know, like it just like those just seemed like massive.
I did use a 2400 for a while because it's what came with my Packard Bell.
And I used then, a 300 baud modem for quite a while. Yeah. It was awful.
See, I didn't live anywhere that had BBSs until 2400 was like standard that came in the computer. But then I remember, like at that point, you could get a 14.4 for like $100. So it was like the first thing I did once I discovered that was a thing that I wanted to do, you know, download porn. I immediately was like, all right, this is a thing that I'm going to spend money on. Like,
did I tell you I won my first 14.4 modem?
No.
By
botting.
Oh, yeah, by botting a Trade Wars competition.
Yeah. Fucking
so great.
Dirty Explorer. What did you do? You just found some particularly...
And I did it... I automated it with my keyboard macros. I programmed my keyboard to play the game. And then just put a weight down on one of the keys and walked away from it for an hour and came back.
Was Trade Wars not turn-based?
It was. Yeah. But you like if you found a particular, you get like 100 turns a day or whatever.
So how did macroing it actually give you an advantage?
Just like I could play, I don't know actually. I don't remember how I did it.
You're just bragging.
No, I mean, I don't remember the details.
Believe me, bro,
details.
When I say that it is in fact a cool story, I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way. The only thing I ever, there was some guy on the...
Because you could barter, I think, and it was like bartering a certain number of times.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then selling and then doing, you know, like it was just a bunch of keystrokes, which right. anybody could have done.
They wouldn't have, right? Because it was a pain in the ass. Yeah. It was a pain in the ass to do it effectively. So that basically became a test of your patience.
Right.
The bartering, because it was like, oh God, now I just have to do this again.
Right.
There was a guy who figured out that if you dumped a binary file into talk, and sent it to somebody on that was logged in to the Unix terminal at U of I, that it would just disconnect their modem connection.
Oh, wow.
And so he was just doing that to everybody all the time. It was super annoying. And so I looked him up and found his phone number and then just went out of town for the weekend after writing a script for my modem software to just call his room every couple minutes. Just all weekend.
Wow.
Those days, man.
Yeah, that's...
Those days. We had a kid who got a hold of the fucking shadowed password file for the server that all the student accounts were on, and I have no, which was like a big deal. I mean, this was like a serious computer school,
huh.
Right? And how the fuck did this kid get this? I don't know. But we did not have the computing power between all of us to successfully dictionary attack the actual hashes, right? Like, because all we had was a bunch of like 386s and low-end 486s, and it was just like, well, this will eventually find some people's passwords, but it's going to take months.
Wow.
Whereas now it would just be a matter of like typing that hash into like one of those rainbow lookups on the web, and it was like, oh, there's your password.
Yeah, I mean, strong enough passwords are...
Yeah, but nobody had strong passwords in 1994.
Sure.
This was a thing that every student had. I mean, I had had more people just tell me their passwords because they wanted me to teach them how to use Pine or whatever,
right.
than we ever would have found illicitly. So yeah, that's Marathon 2.
Yeah.
Huh. Stories about
so
the past.
So what's our next assignment?
Well, Kevin suggested one.
World of Goo.
All right. So we're going to play World of Goo.
It's available at minimumsafedistance.com. No, it's
available on the iPad at minimumsafedistance.com.
It's on the iPad. It's at Steam. I'm pretty sure it's available for PC and Mac.
All right.
Yep.
This is not, there are like some things that are very similar to it. Like there was, I think, a Flash game that was like a predecessor or whatever, but this is like an actual, like fully fledged
Well, they did Tower of Goo, and then it was like, hey, remember the people that did Tower of Goo? They want to sell. They want to make a game. Would you like to buy it
in advance,
a year ahead of time?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
You know that model, like the
Kickstarter thing.
The Kickstarter thing is, I think it's really great.
Yeah.
You know, like here's my proposal. Here's my costs and stuff like that.
Just for $50,000, we can get a RoboCop statue in Detroit.
Yeah.
I really hope that happens.
Yeah.
I so hope that happens. Because I think it is a case of a politician putting his mouth where he knew there was no money, and then when the money shows up, they're not going to do it, but it'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, World of Goo. I'm going to get it on the iPad, because Riff says it's fun on the iPad.
It is fun on the iPad.
I played it on the PC, and I was trying to get all of the... I was trying to get the best score on every level, and that's what frustrated me about there being one really hard level. I know you can skip some number of levels, right? Like, you don't have to beat everything in order to progress, or do you?
Depends on the map. There's some zones, the little trail of levels branches.
Okay.
So you get... I think you do eventually have to beat all levels in that zone to go to the next zone, but in a lot of cases, if you're stumped on a level, you can go the other level that's available.
Progress.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, play along with us. World of Goo, everybody. World of Goo. Who makes World of Goo?
I don't remember.
2D Boy?
Is it 2D Boy?
I think so.
World of Goo by 2D and the Pacemakers. You guys, what would you say if I told you that we could read some reader mail?
Get out of town.
I would call you a reader or a tautologist. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't call you anything. I'd say, hey, cool, do it.
You certainly wouldn't make a funny joke.
No.
That's for sure. We got some reader mail.
Cool.
Do you guys want to read some reader mail?
Sure.
The first rule of reader mail is that you should read the reader mail.
Laz says, and we were talking about this earlier, hey guys, I've been wondering what your thoughts are on the Walking Dead game that Telltale announced some time ago. I wasn't too keen on it until I heard that Jake Rodkin and Sean Vanneman of Idle Thumbs were leading the development. They even made a podcast recently on the matter. So, any of you like the comic, seen the TV show, and or excited for the game? So, I have this problem, which I know just makes me the worst nerd.
Not like in
terms of being a huge nerd, but like I'm bad at being a nerd. I will not read comics that are in black and white.
Huh.
You know what?
Wait,
that is
not
entirely
true at all.
Because
your first comic books were
Usagi Yojimbo and Tales of the Bean World.
Yeah,
are
yeah.
both in black and white. Wow. But no, never mind.
I don't understand.
The comics are really good. I haven't watched the show yet.
The show is really good.
I think I own all
awesome.
Of the show because I subscribed to it on iTunes, but I've never gotten around to watching an episode of it.
I don't know, man. I look at those comic books and I'm like, yep, that is not something I'm going to read. And it's just the art that puts me off. I know my girlfriend's been reading the whole series, and I've been shuttling them back and forth between my friend that she's borrowing them from. Never even cracked them to look after the first time I flipped through the first one. The show's good, though. The show is good.
Why would black and white bother you?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know it doesn't. But when I see a black and white comic, I'm like, ah, this is some indie bullshit. It's not going to be any good. It's just going to be like about cholos or something. Because I think a lot of the black and white comics that I see here are like local comics about cholos.
There was some, there was a comic called Casanova that was, it's sort of a psychedelic multi-dimensional spy thriller kind of thing. And they did, in the original issues, they did the art as black and white line drawings with a spot color. And they, I believe they did a different color every issue. But when they published them in trade paperback, they had to go back and they've recolored them all with like full color. And when people objected, it came out that the reason they had to do this was that comic book stores do not buy as many issues of a black and white comic because they don't sell as well for basically the reason you just described, but because they were using the spot color, they were paying for full color printing. So they had to go to to make their money's worth on this comic.
Oh, they had to make it something that the comic store would buy.
Would buy, and they were paying that much money anyway, so they went ahead and had it printed full color.
Almost every time that I have randomly bought a comic book and it was black and white, it was terrible, and I just stopped doing it. I think that's the long and short of it. Huh. If somebody recommends something, then I'll read it, right? I mean, Usagi Yojimbo, I had read a bunch of them before I ever started buying them.
Before you knew that they were in black and white.
Yeah, before I understood that they were in black and white. Also, I'm colorblind, and like a dog. Not like a normal colorblind guy, but like a dog. I'm colorblind,
so
like a boss.
Sniff other colorblind people's butts.
Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. That's just what we do at our cons.
I see.
Paul Davidson writes, "Hey, artists formerly known as the Reverb Crew, have you tried out the new MMO for the iPhone and iPad, Order and Chaos? I was just curious to get your thoughts before I bought it."
I have not.
I bought it and played it for like 10 minutes. It is just this, like, imagine you said, "Hey, I'm an iPhone developer. I'm going to rip off World of Warcraft." That is exactly what it is.
Isn't it Gameloft or who, whatever that company is that whose obvious, you know, source of ideas is popular game, let's make that. And so they've got their version of Uncharted and their version of basically any popular game franchise you can think
of. How would an iPhone or an iPad World of Warcraft even work?
It's surprisingly reasonable.
Huh.
Like, I could see how... What's weird is, like, it's like an $8 game, right? And then that includes 3 months of playtime, but then it's $1 a month. It's like, it's moving to a subscription model. So who knows what happens 2.5 months from now when it comes time for people to actually, you know, have to pay for it. But, Yeah, I don't know.
Was it any fun?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, I bought it because I wanted to see it. I bought it because I wanted to see how it played, just sort of out of professional curiosity. And
I can imagine somebody doing that and it being fun to play.
Way more reasonable on the iPad than on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I bought it on the phone and tried it there, and it was like, this is just weird. Plus, the first time that I played it, it put kind of a bad taste in my mouth because there was some weird server lag that was causing, like, you know, 10 or 15 second latency on using an ability. Which was really problematic.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't like that. I don't know. My girlfriend was like, "Hey, what's this game?" And I'm like, "It's that WoW clone. You can make a character if you want to play." And she played for like a couple minutes and was like, "I don't like this. Bullshit."
Huh.
Yeah. That's what she does, though. She made an elf. All I did was make an orc named Gron, because I wanted to make sure that if I ever did want to play an orc named Gron, that I had him already. And then I made an undead, and it was boring. And like one spell, you know, you could socket abilities. You could hot spot them. You could hot pocket. Yeah. Adam Iveson says, "I think you guys should do an episode focused on modern IF games. Just because you do the only game podcast I'm aware of with fans of the genre, or keep talking about IF games as the podcast goes on. Either works." I don't know if this was before the last one where we did a lot of talk. No, it wasn't. This was a couple days ago.
Yeah,
we did a lot of talking about IF.
We did some good IF talking.
I exhausted almost everything that I care to say about IF.
You could spend a good week playing some IF games, though. And
yeah, we could. Yeah, one of these days. Actually, this is a call to action from our listeners. We would like one of these days for our assignment to be a MUD, but we want it to be a MUD that is actually representative of what it was like playing MUDs back in the day, as opposed to like this is some, you know, end of life MUD where it's just been ravaged by the people who became wizards 10 years ago and then abandoned it, right? Like a MUD that isn't confusing as fuck, which maybe there's no such thing.
I'll see if, because that their website said BatMUD is still running, and that's the one I used to play back in the day. I'll look at it and see if it's comprehensible.
All right. Adam Iveson also writes, "For whatever reason, I recall two games you wanted to like but didn't and never played the sequels. Jizak. That's my new name.
Oh, yeah.
Dark Cloud was the one you thought should have been your favorite game, but for the weapons getting destroyed thing, fixed in the sequel." I saw somebody play the sequel and I never played it.
I've got the sequel here if you want to borrow it.
I will never play it on a console. You know?
Like, you just don't sit down at a console.
As far as my remembrance, you still had repair powder in the second one.
Why don't you put the console up like in your bedroom so that you can lay in bed and play a console game? Because that, I feel like that would be the only venue that you would actually do it.
Because that's not where the television is.
But that is a problem that you could solve.
I could put that television up there. I bought that television to go in the bedroom, but then just never ended up moving it. I don't know, man. Let's just have this conversation on the podcast. No. Do you ever use that television down there?
The one downstairs?
Yeah.
No.
All right. Then I'm going to put it wherever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Man, I can watch super HD double porn.
But, I mean, I feel like you not playing console games is a detriment to your professional life.
Oh, come on. Similarly, he says, X-Men Legends you dislike because it kept getting in the way of the core game. Totally Fixed in 2, which I think is much better than the subsequent Ultimate Alliance games, but that's another matter altogether. I don't remember what... I remember playing X-Men Legends with that group of guys that we were all pissed off that Crystal Chronicles was a giant ball of assholes. And also being disappointed by that game. But it was mostly because this one dipshit kept falling off a cliff and then we'd all have to walk back half the level to get to where he could walk up to where we were. Yeah, you know who you are, dipshit. You're probably listening to this. You got nothing better to do. I'm just kidding, Paul. You're not that much of a dipshit. Also, your name isn't Paul. I just thought it would be funny to say that. Yeah. I forgot whether anybody said anything on the VGHD Twitters. Some people responded to some stuff that some people said. Those people were us, I think.
I put out a request for people to look at my list of good iPad apps on my blarg and suggest other ones.
Oh yeah? Did you get any fishes?
I haven't looked yet.
People talking about how they wish that the text in Okamiden went faster.
Yeah.
Faster,
that faster. Was a problem I had with it.
Frankenbean says, Twilight Princess for the Wii. 10 minutes in, needed a fac for the cat/dish/cradle quest. Am I too dense to play Zelda games? I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
I think you put the goddamn thing about Twilight Princess.
I remember
the cradle, and then you add the silver spoon.
Right.
Yeah. What I remember about Twilight Princess was hating the shit out of that cart X.
Fart noise.
No, there is a quest. What do you? Oh my God! FedEx? I'm going senile.
The FedEx quest.
What do you call it? No, not
Fetch
FedEx.
Quest? A Felch quest.
When you're accompanying
escort.
A thing. Escort. Escort. Oh my God! I must have had a stroke or something. But yeah, you're escorting that carriage full of people trying to get to the next town, and dudes are attacking. I hated that so much. It took me so many tries to beat that.
I hated having to wave my hands around like a goddamn retard to swing a sword instead of just pressing a fucking button to swing a sword. That's what I hated and what made me just totally stop playing that game, like probably 10% of the way through it.
You really felt like a retard waving your arms around?
Mm-hmm. I felt like...
I mean, you can just sort of twitch your hand a little bit.
Not necessarily a retard, but just somebody who...
Have you ever tried to play tennis?
So imagine, like, say, Bob Dole. Probably really good at that game. Right, because all he has
nobody
to do
will never know.
All he has to do is bash his withered hand against something, and then he swings a sword. And that's what it would be like if he was trying to swing a sword with his real hand in real life. So he's accustomed to that. Because I think Bob Dole fucks some dudes up with swords.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, back in his prime.
I mean, eventually he decided to put that pen there because it was mightier. Right. Seems like
used
I was setting
to be
that
a knife you would hold in that
seems
hand.
Like I was setting that joke up the whole time, but I wasn't. It just happened that way. See, that's the magic of comedy, guys.
Timing.
Azulian says, have you guys played Morrowind, and what's your opinion on it, versus Oblivion, if you've played that as well? Thus far, Oblivion is a bit easier to maneuver, but Morrowind is a bit more consuming. So, Morrowind I played for a couple of hours, and I found a whole bunch of quests to wander out into the world and immediately just fucking get my ass stomped on by some monsters that were way too high a level for me. Oblivion was, I don't know, I beat the game in like 4 hours, and it was boring. Every dungeon was boring and the same, and everything that you found was boring, and then there were, you know, like, I beat the game in 4 hours, even though, like, an hour of that was spent doing these identical arena fights and becoming Lord High Champion King of Earth by beating this guy who was like, oh, this is the most powerful fighter in the world, and like, no, this is pretty much identical to the first guy I fought an hour ago. Like, what... What?
Because everything scales.
I don't know. Huh. I don't know if that's what it was, because that seems pretty stupid if, like, oh, here's this progression oh, sorry, this isn't a game where fights can be more difficult than other fights. So, yeah, no, I didn't mean a progression. I just meant a sequence. There's just eight dudes. They have slightly different color hair. Slightly different hideous monster faces. Even the ones that were people. I mean, it's okay for monsters to have hideous monster faces, but...
I remember seeing some of the faces in Oblivion, like, talking to some dude wearing a rubber mask.
That,
very creepy.
That said, I'm totally looking forward to Skyrim. Because, I mean,
is
fucking...
it Elder Scrolls 5? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Fallout 5 was awesome. I mean, will be... Fallout 5 will... Was... Have been
the one,
awesome.
The one on the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what 5 takes place on the moon?
I just assumed that it was going to be on the moon because all future sequels are on the moon.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Like Portal 3.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers? Jesus. Jesus. Spoilers?
What?
Didn't we tell you that that Video Games Hot Dog was a spoilers-free zone?
Oh, please.
Come on.
Please.
You guys are sitting there Nancy-footing around sword and sorcery. That's because you don't want to ruin it for me. Our listeners don't care.
So Azulian also asked, what the deuce is S:S?  I think the question mark was the end of the question, not part of the question. So that's Super Brothers Swords and Sorcery. But something that was kind of curious was that like they integrated Twitter into the app extremely tightly, where every utterance in the game you could tweet, and they were all phrased in the past tense such that it would make sense as a tweet.
That made no sense to me because that's not a game you want anything to be spoiled for. I feel like all the fun of the game is the discoveries and the witty dialogue and stuff, and if you're just tweeting all that to your friends, you're kind of ruining it for them.
Well, maybe they expect that you hate your friends and are a dick.
Was the whole thing just an attempt to get more press by like sort of capitalizing on social networks?
Cigar Fella keeps talking about how much better this is with if you the social network, but as far as I could tell, there's no game effect.
Did you actually tweet anything in the game?
Yeah, half a dozen things maybe.
Huh.
Did it improve your experience at all? Was it like Echo Bazaar where you
just
invited somebody over to
bad.
Play chess with your farts or whatever?
As an experiment, I tweeted one thing to our
to
our Twitter feed or whatever.
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
You're fired.
What? Why?
It's not okay.
You told me to use the thing. I said, our research data shows a high correlation between a participant's progress in this game and their aptitude for being awesome. Yeah, that's super spoilery.
Mm-hmm. You did. You spoiled it for everybody, and you're fired. You're fired from the podcast. You're fired from Fun Boy Podcast Club, which is that's the ad I put in the classifieds in the weekly newspaper. Wanted lads for Fun Boy Podcast Club.
Oh my god!
I can't believe you guys.
I think
actually
you're going to jail. I think you're going to go to jail.
Someone else writes in the forums, what's your opinion on some of the new Pokemon in terms of their appearance? My personal favorite of the new ones are Vanillish the Ice Cream Pokemon, Scrafty the Punk Gangsta Pokemon, and Dwebble the cutest Pokemon ever. Riff?
Are those real Pokemons?
I did not play very far into the new Pokemon, but
Are you going to finish it? Or
probably not.
Okay.
On the whole, the new Pokemons that I have seen, I did not feel that the character design was as interesting as it has been in the past.
I mean, I have a feeling that...
Isn't it better in the sense that they're not just, like, low-res blobs anymore or something?
Well, but I'm talking about the actually drawn pictures of them that you see in the books.
Not the models.
I think, though, that if you are a guy and your goal for the afternoon is to sit down and draw a character... Wait a minute. All right. You have to draw a character that has never been any of these goddamn 9 million Pokemon that have existed. You cannot help but be scraping the absolute edges of your imagination in order to draw anything. Right? Because these are simple things. These are simple shapes. These are simple combinations of animals and eyes and robots and leaves and shit.
Yeah.
Couldn't you just come up with two nouns that hadn't been used in a previous Pokemon and draw them?
Probably could, and I think that's how you end up with Dwebble.
The cutest
Smugleaf.
The cutest ever.
What's Smugleaf?
What is a leaf with an attitude?
One of the
a leaf that's trying to get things across a border.
One of the first three Pokemon in the new series has this smug look on his face. So when they revealed this new character, but before anyone knew what it was called, the internet was calling it Smug Leaf. That was why I named that KOL one that.
C.D. Moyer says, what do you think about QFC, which are the people that do desktop dungeons, now with native Mac version, by the way.
Yeah,
apparently. Yeah.
I'm writing that.
What do you think about them having a copycat app pulled from the App Store? They blogged about it here, which is on their... if you go to qfcdesign.com, it's on their blog there. And seem pretty unsure about their decision to pursue it. That was really
Explain the story more.
So they made this game, Desktop Dungeons, which is in... It's being worked on all the time, right? Like, it's in beta. You can play it. You can... I think it's free. I don't think they're selling it yet. But somebody just made a kind of a shitty ripoff of it.
Yeah. Didn't they even the original art assets?
I think they might have taken their art assets.
That's something that happens a lot. Like somebody, that game Cannibalt, that running jumping game.
Yeah, yeah.
That got duplicated on the App Store and had to be pulled. There's been, it pops up like a couple of them a month. I read about some new one that has been found on Ars Technica or something.
Do they rename them or something? Or
yeah, like, they give them like different names, but they steal art assets and.
But I think they pulled it. They asked the guy to pull it, and you know, said they were going to report it to Apple or whatever. And then the guy that made that app posted this like really sort of like, sorry, I guess I have to stop making this cool game for you guys now. And then like the people who had bought it, and it was like this sort of half finished broken thing that was now no longer ever going to get any support, were understandably kind of pissed. And it makes these guys look like the bad guys, even though they're the ones who got ripped off in the first place. It's just an all around shitty situation. I think they seem like cool guys. They seem like guys that think about stuff and want to be good guys, and they seem to be as cognizant as anybody of the shit.
But you cannot let somebody steal your art assets and game design and put it on a different platform and try and make money off of it.
Yeah.
Right? Like.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you can't always not do that without looking like an asshole.
Those people should not be mad at those guys. They should be mad at the guy who tricked them into paying.
And can't you get a refund on apps? I thought you could.
Can you?
Because there was, I mean, of the, like, I Am Rich apps that were sold, I think four of them actually got refunded or something like that.
I wish I had
bought that. Just be a good story. And now I can't. So now that I can't have it anymore, now I want it.
There are some, like, $800 or $900 apps, though, that exist now.
Are there?
Yeah.
What are they?
There's like some crazy...
Oh God, don't tell him.
English to every language dictionary.
There's like translator things like that actually have like support that you can access.
Is there one that's
stuff.
Just a front for a prostitute comes to your house?
There's weird ones that are like, you know, control all of the lights and appliances in your house kind of things and stuff like that. You know.
Let's do one more question. Betrayer says, what's your favorite video game from the last century, and what's your favorite board game? Kevin, go.
From last century or from the last century?
From the last one. So what's your favorite video game that will come out in whatever the last century of the universe is?
No, but I mean, from the last 100 years or from 1990
Portal
to 1999?
I think up to 2000.
Okay, so that's the question. God, that's tough. It's hard to say. Board games? I didn't play a ton of board games.
Well, no, not board game from the last century. What's your favorite board game, period? And what's your favorite video game from the last century?
The board game that I keep coming back to as my favorite is probably Betrayal at House on the Hill.
Really?
Yes. It is not the best designed. It is not the one that I probably had the instance of most fun, but it is the game that I have played more than any other, probably, and... I forward to playing it again in the future.
I might like Mansions of Madness better than it, but I haven't played it enough to really be sure.
Yeah.
I really enjoy Robo Rally. I don't know if it's my favorite or not.
See,
that
seems like a real answer. Kevin,
I'm
really surprised.
What do you mean?
By that answer.
Why?
I don't know.
It is a board game that I can play with other people and they don't get pissed at me for playing with them. How's that?
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Right? Here's a problem that people have who are Kevin's friends. Kevin is really good at games. Kevin is really smart, and Kevin also plays to win, and so it is frequently just no fun at all to play a game with Kevin, because it is just like, oh, let's play that game where everybody except Kevin just gets kicked in the dick. And, you know, Kevin's like, oh, okay. But everybody else is like, no.
I mean, what happens is I play these games now, and like if there's an opportunity to screw me over, people will take it now. So it's like, you know.
So you have not yet ruined Agricola for me, and right. I'm going to say that Agricola is my favorite game. I like that you don't like Agricola, because that means you'll never get so good at it that I'll never, ever be able to beat
it. I love Dungeon Lords. I think Dungeon Lords is an awesome game, but I've only played it like 3 or 4 times. I would play that more, but like, mm-hmm. you know.
I'm not going to let you. I'm not going to play games that I care about with you, because you ruin everything.
And Star Control 2 was totally last century, and that's one of my favorite video games.
Absolutely. Done.
Probably still is my favorite video game.
I might have to say Riven.
Wow, really?
You really like the Myst
story. They just really captured my imagination.
Huh. Because like I have only played the first Myst, and I thought it was okay. I played it much later. I played it like probably 6 or 7 years ago or whatever, mm-hmm. and I didn't really grab me, and I was kind of pissed off at like one of the like the last puzzle that I had to solve was because I didn't click on the right pixel in a particular screen, and I was just like, seriously, I spent like an hour looking for a pixel, and I was just pissed.
Riven, so, I constantly felt like it was just shitting in my mouth.
Really?
Yeah, because I played it prior to a DVD-ROM, and so.
Oh.
Like,
so you had to keep switching
constantly switching discs and like
14 discs.
There were
something.
5, I think, but not knowing the thing that I think is unforgivable about Riven is that you would reach puzzles that you had no way of solving and no way of knowing that you had no way of solving them. And I hate that. I hate it when a game presents you with a puzzle that you cannot solve and no indication, explicit or even hinted at, that you don't have the information necessary to solve this. This is what we were talking about with the idea of user-created levels on Portal 2 is both exciting and terrifying.
Yeah.
Because if you play some random level that some random douche made, you have no idea if you're too dumb to figure out how to beat this level or if the level itself is bullshit. Right? So without some kind of rating system, which I'm sure they have. I'm sure they will have. It's gonna be really hit and miss.
I feel like puzzles in general are, you are really at the mercy of the person who made the puzzle, and you really have to put a lot of faith in them that the puzzle is solvable and good. And to spend a lot of time on something, that's why I don't like riddles a lot of the time, because you know it's kind of like an either you get it or you don't. And there've been riddles in Planetarium, a fair number of them, and they're actually pretty good, which I've been really surprised with. Like I won't get it, and I'll be like, okay, I'll come back to this a couple days later, and I'll think about it again. And like thinking about it a couple days later, I was like, oh, okay, I totally see it now. But it was, you know, I haven't had to go to spoilers or anything, and that's been really satisfying. But in general, I really don't like that, and I feel like that's something that like with player design content, I think you're going to be in the same boat where it's going to be really rough. Unless there's some kind of, I could imagine a situation where you have to, you design a level and then you have to beat the level before you can submit it or something, right? So it has to be solvable.
That is what Super Meat Boy does.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, we should thank everybody for listening to this, our 6th episode of Video Games Hot Dog.
Thank you.
If they wanted to contact us, how would they do so?
Well, what they would do is they would send an email to vghotdog@gmail.com. They would send us a Twitter post at vghotdog, at vghotdog.
At vghotdog.
Twitter.
On Twitter.
@. They would go to videogameshotdog.com, click the link to forum, which now leads to Video Games Hot Dog's very own forum, where they can post in the questions thread. Maybe somebody will make a thread about this episode. Maybe it will be me. Who the fuck knows, man? This shit is all new, and this shit is all crazy, and we don't care. We don't care. We don't give a fuck, Holmes. We will do whatever with that forum, and you will go there, and you will take it, and you will like it, is what you will do, listeners. Huh.
I also think you'll like it.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Have a great week, everybody.